We are back still in our series, and we will be on it for a little while, about being a disciple and the dynamics of a disciple. We had our first section. The second section here is about the fact that disciples accept requirements. We look at the verses there, Luke chapter 9, verse 61 to 62, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. And Jesus thinks it's a very important thing that we commit, that we follow the requirements or commitment level that he wants us to have. Of course, we understand that a disciple, it's on your paper, there is one who will accept the requirements of being a disciple that are set forth in Scripture. In other words, Scripture makes it very clear that if we're going to be close to God and we're going to be close to Christ and we're going to be a disciple or a true follower of Christ, then we will follow the requirements which really Scripture give us that tell us how we are to be a disciple. We said by way of reminder that, and so we understand this, before you were saved, you were faced with a choice. The choice was this. I believe you have the blanks again. I want you to get this. Will I receive God's free gift of eternal life, or will I reject God's free gift of eternal life? And that is the option. And so those of us that are here and we're saved, and I would guess that most of you here would be saved. You're a Thursday night crowd. You have accepted the free gift. You have not rejected it. By the way, if you receive it, you have a great eternity. Amen. If you reject it, you have a bad eternity. Okay? And there's no way to soft soap that. People don't like to talk about hell, but I'll just be real honest with you. When a person doesn't trust Christ, that's their eternity, and that's why we believe in soul winning. Heavily, by the way. And so if we have received that gift and we have a great eternity, then there's another decision that's in front of us. Will I decide to be a disciple and true follower of Christ? I put true follower of Christ because that's a term that's used way too often. Or will I decline to be a disciple and follower of Christ? Am I going to do it? Am I going to just, now that I'm saved, grow in my faith and follow Christ the way he tells me to, or am I not? Now, that is not going to affect your eternal destiny. In other words, if I decide to be a disciple, I will be a successful disciple. I will be, as Jesus says in John chapter 15, I will be one of the branches that bears fruit. If I decline, I will be an unsuccessful disciple. And we're going to explain that difference in a little bit. So, with all that being said, we started last time on number one, and there's several main points we will go to as we get into this subject over the few weeks. Number one, I want us to understand the requirement of understanding. So if there is requirements involved with being a disciple and not just being saved, then there's a first requirement of understanding, and that's very, very simple. Luke chapter 14, verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke chapter 14, verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And as we've mentioned over, apparently, not apparently, truthfully, not everybody that, Jesus, just take me just as I am for salvation, if you trust him. Amen. Not for discipleship. Yep. Not for that greater step of being a committed follower. Nope. You cannot. By the way, I can't judge people, but, you know, far too often we get excited when someone says, I'm this, that, or the other. I'll be this. Well, you need to follow some requirements. By the way, in our church, we try to do that. If you're going to be a teacher or something else, we have a covenant, and there are some requirements if you're going to step up that you have to be. Fact of the matter is, there's requirements to be a disciple. These verses show that Jesus set forth a standard for those who wish to be his disciple. Okay? And if you wanted to be a disciple, you had to follow these requirements, these standards, if you want to call it that, these convictions he would give us. And if we're not willing to follow the standard or requirement, you could not be a disciple. In fact, the matter is, if we're not willing to follow Jesus and do the things that he says to try to live that type of life, the fact of the matter is, we're not a disciple no matter what we say. And again, I say this often, but that doesn't mean perfection. God's not looking for perfection in our life. You know what he's looking for? Direction. That, you know, Lord, I want to be a disciple, and my life is all about trying to do what you tell me to do. Amen. For good or for bad. And we go forward. And when maybe we don't reach that like we should, we get back in line and we confess it and we ask for his power to do better, but we strive to follow him and to be a disciple. So the requirement of understanding, the basic requirement or understanding a potential disciple, the basic understanding a potential disciple is required to comprehend is this. There is a difference between being a disciple and being a believer. Let's just understand that. I was reading something recently this man believes. He goes, no, if you're saved, you are a disciple. You are to be a disciple. Okay? And there are some people, they can legitimately be saved and not live the life of a disciple. Or they try, or they're half-hearted at it, or it's just not very important to them. But there is a difference. That's what we need to understand. Now, underneath this understanding, there's two thoughts in this point. Letter A, we need to understand the differences between salvation and discipleship. So if there is differences in being a disciple and being saved, then there would be differences in salvation and being a disciple, which we would call discipleship. The process of continuing and being a disciple and growing. And by the way, there's no, we mentioned it last week, I believe, but you don't arrive, okay? We don't say, okay, I'm going to be a disciple. That's taken care of. Woo! It's a process. And so let's look at some of the differences here. There's a bunch of different thoughts, and they go against one. They kind of combat each other here. So let's look at it. What are the differences between salvation and discipleship? So first we'll look at the discipleship aspect and that blank, and you flip over, go straight across, and then we'll look at the discipleship difference in this same area. First of all, salvation put an instant. In other words, salvation happens instantaneously the moment you trust Christ. It's done with. And it's instant. I don't work, you know. So we go soul winning. You talk to many people. They'll give you many things. Hey, do you know for sure you die? You go, oh, I'm going to heaven, you know, because I'm working at it. I'm trying to do this. That's not salvation. Okay? That's not. You don't work at it. Salvation happens in an instant. The moment you, with clear understanding and complete knowledge of the gospel, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, in that instant, you are saved. It's settled. Done with. Over. So remember the day you were saved, it's over. But discipleship, on the other hand, as I mentioned, it's a process. Salvation is not a process. Instantaneous. But you know what is a process? Discipleship. It's not instantaneous. Now, I believe there's a decision we all face to say, I want to be your disciple. We make that decision. But that decision doesn't say, okay, woof. You know, it's like counseling sometimes. People come in and they have issues and they want me to pull out the spiritual spoofle dust. And typically this is in a marriage. And throw it on their spouse and their spouse is magically different. That doesn't work. By the way, if you're thinking that about your spouse is thinking the same thing about you. Okay. By the way, that's why you ought to go to the couples retreat. It'll help you out so much. But it's a process. It's an ongoing thing. You start down that road, and so often as it is, sometimes there's bumps in the road, and sometimes we make mistakes, and sometimes we maybe get this, whatever it is, but it's a process, and we're trying to go down that road. So it's a process. Next, salvation is an acceptance. An acceptance. It's offered to us, and we take it. And we'll get to some other things down here that kind of go the same, but it's we have to accept what Christ did on the cross. By the way, we accept a lot of things. We accept the fact that we're all sinners. And by the way, sometimes we gloss that over when we soul win, and you better not, because if someone's not understanding they're a sinner, they don't really understand their need for salvation. And they may just pray a prayer, and they didn't understand. Okay, there was so many times as a young person in the 70s where there was this thing and there was this tract that all the churches and all the Christians had and they were born again. And there was this prayer on the back. Dear Jesus, wash me in your blood, take away my sin, and take me to heaven when I die. It was the same thing on every, and they'd have us pray that and they didn't explain it to us. But I knew I wasn't saved. But we understand, we accept the fact that we are sinners and that we are on our way to hell. I don't want to mention sin and hell. Someone may not get saved. If you don't mention sin and hell, they ain't getting saved. Now, you don't have to say it with a smile on your face. You're going to hell. Ever and ever and ever. I've heard some people say it like they're happy. Okay? No. But if we don't understand how horrible our sin is and how costly the price is, we won't understand how desperately we need to trust Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And we accept what he did. It's finalized in an instant when we accept it. But discipleship starts with a decision. Okay? We're accepting salvation, but we're deciding to start this process of fulfilling the things or doing what Jesus said in the scriptures, which makes us a disciple. It's not it's a decision. We have to decide. Next, salvation is by faith. For by faith are you saved through grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. Okay, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's nothing you can do, okay? You just accept it by faith. By the way, you know, it's amazing how people stumble over that. That's just too easy. Duh. You want me to make it harder? Then, you know, as a pastor, I'll do that. It's okay. You have to trust Christ and give 20% of your income to the church every week. I'll take that. But I'm not Jesus, okay? It's faith. And by the way, there is something to that because, by the way, and I'm not, this isn't a soul winning class, but we need to get this down. When we are teaching someone to accept Jesus by faith, you do understand when they're accepting Christ by faith, they're rejecting everything else. That's why you need to explain the gospel. Well, you know what? I did this and I did this and I did this. I'll just cover all my bases and I'll take Jesus too. Doesn't work that way. When you say yes to, when you got married, you were saying yes to your spouse and no to everybody else. That's how salvation is. I am putting my faith in what Christ did and only in what Christ did. If someone doesn't do that, they're not saved. Well, you know, I'm going to trust Buddha, and I'm going to have my Buddhism, and I'm going to have Jesus too. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. You're not completely trusting in what Christ did, but it's by faith. What is discipleship by? Works. Okay? Works. Your discipleship is what are you doing? Okay, when it talks in James about, you know, your works prove your faith. They show the world what you are, but it doesn't make your faith. But after faith, you do works, and those works will show the world your faith. And it also, so how does it show your faith? It shows your faith that you really are a disciple and follower of Christ. Okay? It's things you got to do. You know, I love the whole concept of grace. I love it. I just do. But I'm not going to love it to the exclusion of responsibility. I'm not going to love it to the exclusion of the fact that I do works, not to be saved, not so God will love me more, just simply it takes effort to do what the Bible tells us to do. Amen. That's a work, okay? Jesus says, you know, the greatest among you is a servant. I'm going to guess if I read a Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to guess he wants me to serve. And a disciple will serve. That's a work. But by the way, if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, you could work your whole life and you're not getting to heaven. So you understand the difference. Next, salvation, it's free. Okay, whenever I hear the word free, I think of John over here. Who goes to men's prayer? Yeah, John. We always sing Calvary. And when John's there, we get mercy there and grace was free. And John just yells, free! It's like, brother, it's 9 a.m. Coffee hasn't kicked in. Stop it. Okay? But it's free. It didn't cost you a thing. Now, it cost somebody. It cost Christ. But you didn't cost anything. Praise God for that. Just think of the greatest thing that will ever happen to you, and it won't cost you a penny. Okay? It doesn't cost you anything. Wow. It was paid for. But discipleship, it cost. It cost. Take up your cross. Deny yourself. You know, those are tough things. Those are costly. By the way, it might cost you friends. I lost friends. Now, I still love them, but when I started serving Christ, I lost my friends in a sense that we weren't close and hanging out all the time. I still loved them and whatever, but you understand what I'm saying. They didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. I remember I brought some of the closest guys, the guys I hung around with the most. I brought a group of two or three of them, and I remember they sat there in church, and as Pastor Black preached, they were openly mocking. They were openly making comments. Now, I loved them. I tried to witness to them, and I had friends that did get saved. But you know what? I was in on Christ, and I wasn't going to give him up for somebody. But it cost. Salvation's free, but we have to pay that cost. Jesus made that very, very clear. There's so many verses. In this world, you will have tribulation and all these different things. Next, salvation is eternal life. Eternal life provides a home in heaven. Our home is settled. And it's going to be a good place too, by the way. So what about discipleship? What does that have to do? That's about eternal rewards. You know, wasn't it in Revelation where it talks about their works do follow them? And you read, we all stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, and he'll look at our works and how they did, and if their wood, hair, stubble, they'll burn. Precious metal, gold, all that it'll be. We have an eternal home, but our rewards depend on what we do as a disciple or a follower of Christ. That's all there is to it. By the way, thank God he offers rewards. I mean, I'd be okay with just sliding in there. If he just said, listen, all you're going to do is you're just going to get to heaven. Now, just is a stupid word when you're talking about heaven, but all you're going to do is you're going to make it. But for him to come on top and say, serve me, and I notice everything you do, and you will be rewarded, wow. I'm in on that. Okay? Yep. I'll take it. I'm going to get all these rewards because I earned them. The fact of the matter is, they're determined by what you do, but you don't deserve them, so you didn't earn them anyhow. That's even his grace to allow us to get something. Okay? Salvation is secure. 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 Do you know you can never lose your salvation? Yes, sir. Eternal security. Once you're saved, you have everlasting life. Yep. Once you're saved, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Do you know, man, we're God's son. God doesn't kick us out of his family. There is nothing you can do as a Christian, genuine Christian, to lose your salvation. Amen. You can't. I think of Lot, and it mentions this in Peter, where it talks about Lot, and he had issues. You know he had issues. Living in Sodom, and his kids didn't even think he was, when he talked to his son-in-laws who had married his daughters and about, you know, the Lord's coming, they're like, what are you joking? Why are you talking about that? That has nothing to do with you. But God said he was a just man, okay, righteous. I wouldn't have called him, but positionally he was. So our salvation, if you trusted Jesus Christ, you understood the facts, and with as much sincerity you can, you put your hope and your faith in Jesus Christ, you are saved. Now, if you didn't do that, and you're like, I didn't understand it, then I'm not trying to talk you into it. I'm just telling you, if you know that's what you did, and you knew I understood it, and to the best of my ability, I understood what it was about, your salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. Don't doubt him. But discipleship is not secure, it's maintained. See, salvation, once accepted, is never lost. Discipleship, once decided, can be lost. You can backpedal. You can. I don't suggest you do that, but you can. And I guess if we're honest, all of us, to a small extent, sometime in our life, no matter how good we've had, we're trying to be, or how much we're trying to follow Christ, we can find areas in our life where it's like, you know what? I kind of backtracked there. I need to get back on the right path. It's got to be constantly maintained, okay? You have to work at it. You have to be vigilant. You have to really, I mean, you thank God our salvation is secure, but man, we have got to work at maintaining. Next, salvation is not earned. Salvation is given and it's never earned. But discipleship is not given. Never given and must be pursued. Next, salvation is belief, okay? It's a belief. That's a close proximity to faith, but we believe. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe that he's the one. He's the Messiah. He came to die for our sins. Christmas is coming. He was virgin born, because if he wasn't virgin born, he could never be sinless. Therefore, when he died, he would have died for his own sin. But because he was virgin born and because he was sinless, he died on the cross for our sins. And so I believe all of that. But discipleship is behavior. Behavior. See, salvation is a faith in forgiveness for our sins, but discipleship is a life of forsaking our sins. Okay? We use the word sometimes sanctification. You know, salvation is justification. That's the moment, the instant we get saved. And glorification is the moment we die, when we go straight to be with the Lord. In between that time in our life, it's sanctification. That's the process whereby we're becoming more like Jesus Christ and less like the world. That's behavior. Our behavior is important to God. And I get tired of this liberal section of Christianity. They get on the radio, and it's like, we're trying to earn God's love by living for him. Your love is by his grace. Duh! But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't obey him. Because I didn't say this. Jesus said this. If you love me, keep my commandments. Okay? That's what we're striving to do. We're striving in our life to become more. It's like someone has said, sanctification is when we become more in our practice like we are in our position. What is our position? We're secure in Christ. So in practice, we're living like someone who's secure in Christ. Very important. Salvation, gift accepted. We mentioned gift and acceptance. And then discipleship is a commitment that's given. In other words, both of them, something's given. in salvation, the gift is given to us. In discipleship, we give our commitment to Christ to strive to be the believer or disciple that he asked that we be. And then lastly, salvation is what you have, eternal life by faith. And then discipleship is what you do. So salvation is what you receive by faith, that's what you have. Discipleship is when you live by faith, that's what you do. That same faith that we placed in Jesus Christ because we completely believed he's the only way to heaven, we take that same faith, because we're supposed to just shall live by faith, that same faith that said, I'll completely put everything I have into Christ for eternal security, we turn around and take that whole faith and say, I will live my life based on the fact that my faith says, you know what's best for my life. Same faith, just different angle. Okay? All right, letter B. Let's finish this so we can get to point two next time. Understand the factors that will make me a disciple. So we understand the difference between salvation and discipleship. And by the way, I could have went on and on. But better be, we understand the factors that will make you a disciple. Let me go through these. If you give me till 8:05, I promise that somewhere in the near future, within the next 30 years, I will go 5 minutes earlier. Okay? How many? Somewhere along the line. All right. First. So the factors that will make me a disciple. First, you must have decided to become one. We've mentioned that. You have to decide. If you've not decided, you're just kind of winging it, you're not a disciple. I believe there's got to be something inside you that says, I want to live for God. Okay? I remember, now you may not all have this experience. You may have got saved and like, wow, I want to get in on this thing. That's great. But I didn't for the first couple years. But I remember when I came to the decision, like, Lord, I'm in. I've been messing around for 2 years and you've been beating me up. And he was. The things I used to get away with before I was saved, once I got saved and tried those things, man, I did not get away with them anymore. And I felt horrible about it. I'm like, man, I shouldn't have got saved, but it was a good thing. But when I finally got to a place, I said, you know what, Lord, I just remember I said, in essence, I was saying, I'm gonna live for you. I'm in on this Christianity. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna follow your word. I'm gonna read your Bible. I'm gonna find out what's going on and I'm gonna do it. Okay, that was a decision. A decision, it's not for salvation, but because of salvation. You understand that? When I decide to become a disciple, as we've mentioned, it's not because it's salvation. No, it's because of salvation that I can become a disciple. And then also, it's not before salvation, it's after salvation. Well, I'll just work my way up to this Christianity. Works have nothing to do with it. Next, you must be dedicated to be one. You must be dedicated. Once you make the decision, step up, okay? I'm going to be a disciple. Now that's something that it's a priority. I'm dedicated to it. The decision is the beginning. The dedication is the continuing. I love that word in the book of Acts. And the disciples or the believers continued. They kept going. Didn't stop. They trusted Christ, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and blah, 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 blah. They just went on and on and on. It wasn't like, oh, this is great, a revival meeting, let's go home and go back to that. No, they were like, we continued. The decision is the starting line. The dedication's the race. I mean, we say, you know what? I'm in on the race. Boom, let the starting line go, okay? And when we are dedicated, we're racing. We're going to do this thing. Then lastly, you must be determined to be one. Once we get past the dedication, which is the present, the determination is the future. Like, I'm doing it now, and I'm not going to let anything push me away from Jesus Christ. By the way, people back off of him way too much. You know, I outgrew that Christianity thing. If you outgrew it, you may have never grown it. Okay? You know, it's not like, oh, you know, I was a teenager and I went to the Christian school and now I'm over Christianity. Maybe you never got in. Or you're listening to the wrong people. You're letting something else influence you. The dedication is the present, and then the dedication is the race. The determination is the finish line. What did Paul say? I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Because I got, I'm in, but I'm gonna, the, I'm in until I get to the finish line. It's not like, man, I ran half the race and like, you know, hey, look it over here. You know, like, I don't like our dog. I really don't. But I took him for a walk, and stupid dog would not stay on the sidewalk. By the way, that's the last time I took him on a walk. And it's like, I want to go for a walk, man. I don't want to sit here and drag you down the road. And I don't want you to sniff everybody's grass. Stay off their grass. I don't even want you on my grass, to be honest with you. But, man, he was all over the map. Man, I walked a mile. He walked six. But I'm like, Then finally I got, I said, all right, Alma, you walk ahead of him, he'll follow you. Kind of like I do, okay? You walk ahead of him. But he was all over the map. You know, Christians are like, I'm on the right, it's over here. It's like, stop. Make it to the end. Don't get sidetracked. And that's that. Let's pray. Oh, wait a minute. Back it up. One more. The dog got me thrown off, I'm just telling you. We must understand that becoming a disciple doesn't happen on accident. It isn't automatic. It must be accepted. If you're going to live for God, you're not going to look back 5 years from now and say, oh, wow, I'm living for God. Do you want to live for God? Have you decided to do it? Then you can get there. All right, let's pray.